Foreigners, two languages, one unexpected conversation. Welcome to No Prep Talk. With you today, Romeo, Joanna, and Priscilla.
Welcome to today's episode of our podcast. How are you guys? How are you doing?
Very good, very good. Excited.
Good.
Very happy to be here.
Good. So I'm going to start by telling a small story from when I was 16. So you guys, like me, grew up without the internet. And yes, we are staying on the internet topic. So our generations played outside. We met our friends face to face as well as our dates. However, later on, social media, including dating sites, began to rise in popularity and we were all participating on it. And so our world was changed forever. So as a member of this online community, I met an older guy online. And by old, I mean like in his 20-somethings. And we started talking every day and eventually became friends. One day he tells me, obviously with the progression of our friendship, he tells me that he wants to meet me in person and maybe start dating, you know? And I said, okay, let's meet. The problem was I had told them that I was 20 years old and I was 16. So we met one day. He obviously noted that I was younger than what I had told him. He left and we never talked again. Yeah, it was very sad. It was heartbroken. It was horrible. So I was a kid and a bit of a prick too. And I never did it again. However, some people really do have like long lasting relationships online with people that they never even met face to face. So my first question for both of you is, how do you think online dating changed the way we see dating? And it's for both of you, so.
About dating, do you want to give it a start?
19th of March, 25th of September, just dating. Well, I mean, it has evolved.
Carbon dating.
It has evolved even in the past 5 years. It has evolved a lot with the advent of the apps themselves, like Tinder or Bumble. So even that is quite different for when you compare to 10, 15 years ago. I think there's, in your case, you raised the topic of, you know, there's a risk because it's virtual and there's this sort of this lack of real information. The other side of that is, in terms of dating, is a game of numbers. So you need to meet a lot of people, you need to talk to a lot of people, to go on many dates in order to find the one that you want to stay with. And the online world allows you to do that at a much faster pace than you would normally do if you lived in your community and you're kind of hoping to meet people through your hobbies or through your network. So this is neither a judgment whether it's better or worse, but I guess what came to my mind when you first started is, on one side, there's the risk element of you don't know who actually is on the other side. And on the other side, you have the network effect that is so scalable that you don't have it in real life or in ordinary day-to-day life.
Well, I practically agree with everything you said, Elder. The way I see this world is this fast pace that you mentioned is it's also raising our standards to a certain extent. I think that people 20 years ago or 30 years ago when we started dating, well, 20 years ago more, when we started dating, if you fancied the girl or something, that would be, you know, enough to consider a relationship. Whereas now, yeah, you can fancy 50 girls that show up in your screen and start conversations with all of them at the same time. So it feels like this availability also makes either the search for the one to be extended, or eventually even canceling the possibility of a one because of, yeah, there's also the other one and the other one. And so in the end, we just go for nothing or everything, some people. and the whole search for a meaningful relationship that would be simplified 200 years ago or 100 years, like the available woman would be the choice. Now availability is immense, not only geographically, but also you can actually maintain many conversations that would be considered dating at the same time without it being harmful or without it taking the time that it took to actually agree on a place and go for a coffee and so on. So I think it completely revolutionized the whole concept of dating.
I think making matches today, it's easier and faster, and because you are, you know, when you meet someone online and you start building something and then you go for a date, when you actually go on a date, you already know. I mean, it happens in the matching process. You are only matching with people who have the same interests as you. So you're not wasting time, you know, meeting people outside that you don't know nothing about, and then, you know, only to realize that the person is very different from you and has, you know, you have no common interests or anything. So it made dating faster for sure. But at the same time, I think it also, we lost a bit of the magic that, you know, there's around meeting someone new at a bar. Let's say, you know, oh, I'm going to a bar with a friend. I, you know, see a guy. I think he's cute. And I think like there's a magic to going to, you know, approach the person and start a conversation with the person. And then, you know, getting to know the person from scratch without any online interference. So do you think that like it also changed the way we see romantic relationships? It's a bit related to what I just said before.
Yeah, well, absolutely. We only go for dates, as you were just saying. We only go for dates if they're meaningful or something, or if there's something that attracts us. Whereas before, we had to go through that process. I agree with you that there is magic in the process of just randomly meeting somebody and taking it from there. But I think that even though we have seen both worlds, all three of us have met people offline and online and dated people offline and online, sort of, or at least went for a date or met somebody. It's not as much our reality in terms of what our generation is, and it may be much more the reality of people that didn't go through this throughout this process of first meeting people and then going for something else. Specifically, what I mean is the generation that at the age of 13, 14, 15 starts going out, they already have access to these, to the online world. That being a website that facilitates dates, or an app, or even, you know, just Facebook, you know, a friend of a friend. I've seen friendships, and let's call them friendships at this stage, start by just somebody commenting on a picture of somebody else and so on. So, you know, like, we're not part of that generation. And me particularly, I do take some, I'm not as involved. I don't search for that sort of relationship through the online world. For some people, that's just what reality is.
Yeah.
So we're analyzing an evolution that for some people is just reality as it is. When we go places, we already sort of have a plan. Maybe 20 years ago, we'd meet in a certain place to try to do something, and we wouldn't have our phones, or, you know, like, it wouldn't be as simple as now to just, have part of our necessities fulfilled without us even needing to leave the house. So in that sense, yeah, it completely changed the concept. Romance has a different meaning. And that is beautiful as well, because having a different meaning also means that, you meet the mind of the person a bit when you chat with the person online, more than you find the chemistry that may be a bit more physical or something like that. So in that sense, maybe some relationships are more meaningful when they start online. I don't know. Elder, what do you think about that?
I think that the notion of romance has evolved, and it will be different than it was in our days. The same way that we heard our parents say, you know, back in our days, to get a date, you have to do X, Y, and Z. It was much more difficult. Or the same way that people approach the topic of marriage, and how, or no, back in our days, people would stick longer with marriage and it would be much more resilient, whereas now we have more often and less resilient. Again, I think it's good to observe the evolution aspect of it without necessarily comparing it with a judgment of whether it's better or worse. Definitely, I think the it has made dating more accessible to more people and increased the probability to find someone for everyone, because so many people are in online dating nowadays.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I think it's really good for people who, you know, from specific niches. Niches, is that how you say it? Niches.
Yeah.
To find like-minded people, you know, people who with who they can relate, with who they have things in common. And also, I think it really helps people with things like social anxiety, you know, people who can't go on dates on outside, you know, they don't really go to bars, or they don't go out or anything. I think, you know, it made dating more available for those people as well.
Don't you think that at the same time, it may be a cause for disruption of the stability of a relationship? So it makes romance more available, but at the same time, it's a bigger threat to romance as well. So more people get into the market, but it's that means what it means. More people are in the market, it's easier for any relationship to lose focus.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I think you are exposing yourself a little bit too much as well, because, like, let's say some dating apps like Grindr, it's for gay people, they even have on your profile what your STD status.
That's cool. No, it's super handy.
So it's like
quite reasonable.
Yeah.
So it's like a new category.
Yeah. If you want to be a part of having a profile on Grindr, you have to go to the doctor, ask for exams on STDs, and then it goes in the website, and everybody who matches with you can see if you have a disease or you know, herpes or syphilis or whatever.
So, and on that note,
do share, Stiga.
Yeah. So I just mentioned before that, like, so all this information that is available about you on your online profile on dating apps, of course, that's a lot of it exposes you a lot. Do you think it changes the way you will get to know the person? When you are meeting the person, like, in, you know, face to face, you already know something about that person. You're not starting from scratch.
You do start from scratch when you start chatting. The difference is you don't do it face to face, probably. So in order to get to know someone, you would still, it's the reason why I'm saying that or pointing that out is that the descriptions of most profiles on apps are not exactly extensive. It's usually the regular cliche sentences. I like books, reading in cinema, which is sort of the average thing that defines anyone.
Traveling.
Traveling as well. So I think the initial conversation, the biggest difference is it happens virtually rather than face to face. The amount of information, I wouldn't say it's necessarily that much different. And I think the advantage of the online part is you can filter out on initial conversations a little bit better the people that you are actually going to invest some time on face to face. Whereas before, you're kind of waging your bet on, you know, I'm going on this date and hopefully, you know, I'm going to find out that she likes X, Y, and Z, and it would be more on the line. So it would be riskier on that sense.
Okay. Do you agree, Romeo?
Well, it certainly has just transposed part of the process to the online world. So we get to understand by chatting how far the whole thing may get to, you know, like if there's a match or not. I would say there's a similar transformation as well in the way that people interact. So the type of conversations that I would have offline don't work online. So that's like, it's still a mystery for me, really. The online world, well, I managed to get some sort of a second sort of level of meeting people and so on. And no need to go into details, but the thing is, the challenge of getting that second level through words in a very crowded environment makes it very difficult for anybody to actually pay attention to the conversation, let's say. So what I mean is, it doesn't just transpose a conversation that was offline into the online world. The style of the conversation changes, and you're not fully focused on that conversation as you would be in the offline world. Mm. This is to say that the only comparison would be if when you started that conversation, you would be sitting in a table with seven other people, and that person would be talking to you and then talking to somebody else and so on. Of course, the focus goes, and so does the potential of the conversation to be enriching somehow.
And sometimes you already drank a few beers and, you know, your talking becomes more weird, and you even spill the beer on top of people.
I've heard people doing that.
Thinking about a very specific example.
Yeah. Famous one, yeah.
Yeah.
Infamous by now.
Yeah. Maybe Johnny, you wanna specify. I spilled beer on you. Yes.
Yeah. That is correct. First time.
But still. but
that was a great first impression, I have to say.
Yes. But and see, that's the thing. if I did something similar in the online worlds, I would not have gotten a second opportunity to, I don't know, say that I'm a nice guy or something. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's so much noise that to get above the cloud with somebody, it takes time, it takes effort, and the skills are completely different. So in the end, what I would say is it's very valuable that we still have the opportunity to meet people offline, because certain traits of sociability, certain skills of social interaction are only developed if we're exposed to that.
Yeah, I agree.
So, the online world, on the other end, does provide you with the opportunity to get past that initial conversation with people that don't matter. On the note, in your profile you have your STD. Look, I think that's super useful. Like our profiles, Elder was saying something similar as well. Like our profiles don't say much. And so there's so much, I'm going to use noise as well. I could use the word rubbish, but I think it's too intense for the situation. But there's so much noise. There's so many different people that have nothing to do with us. And we can sort of guess a bit by a couple of photographs or something. But that's guessing, really. So it's actually lovely to have that sort of information, not specifically the STD, but some sort of information that is accurate and that actually categorizes people so that we actually know if the conversation is maybe going to be slightly more interesting than the previous one and so on.
Mm-hmm. So how do you guys feel by picking people solely by their looks when you're going through your matches, you know?
Elder. How do you feel about that?
It does sound a bit superficial, if you know what I mean. You know, you're just looking at the person, you're looking at her face and her body, and you're, you know, picking her through
that. There must be attraction, of course. Yeah. But anyway, sorry, Elder.
I would say let's keep the dialogue organic instead of calling out. That'll be my first intuition. I'd say it's just replicating what already happens in the real world. Like when you used to go out, the first interaction would be exactly that. You would be assessing someone not only based on their looks, but also whether they would be interested in you or not. So you have to cross the eye gaze somehow. You have to show interest, expression of interest. So it's basically replicating that. But the biggest difference is that if you go out on a night out with your friends, you can do that a couple of times. If you're on an app, you have the swipe effect where, you know, in less than a minute, you can go over 60 people or something like that. So that is the part that it kind of puts it to a more extreme in what you can do and removes, to a certain extent, it could remove the filtering function that we usually do, because the minimum error that you identify, you just swipe left. And then you move on. Whereas there's a lot less effort put into it.
And which increases the chances of you missing on an incredible person who would be a perfect fit for you, but you're not picking the person because she doesn't have the right looks.
But that's true also in when you go out. Like you could meet the perfect person that is just too drunk because it's her birthday. Like, I mean, the circumstances, on the online world, the same mistakes happen, right? You put the wrong picture, you think it looks good and it doesn't. I think for me, the biggest difference and that I see it as a problem is these extreme sort of, we want that dopamine effect of matching and that's it. Or we want that control over what you see and what you want more out of, mm-hmm. rather than just sitting with it. And if you go to a club, if you go to a bar, if you go to a dinner, you sit through a moment with people, then you see them several times, kind of like it takes longer, and that helps you do that assessment. Whereas through an app, it doesn't really matter. You just, I've heard many people say, or some people, they just swipe it. They don't really realize that they are doing that.
And it's like when you go for your first date with someone that you met online, it's like you've already agreed on going for a date with that person. You already agreed with having a date with that person. So I think it's a good point to start.
I think consent always needs to happen, whether it's online or offline.
Of course.
I want to leave that out there, just, you know, everybody to know.
No means no.
Yeah. My body, my rules. So, Romeo, do you agree with Elder?
Well, about consent, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Sure
no, it's one funny story came to mind, which shows that, you know, like this is all a bit surreal, and to be meaningful and to actually, like, when you swipe and when you agree on a date and all of that, sometimes it's just random, absolutely random. There was one time I was outside of the club I was in a night out, a Friday night. I was outside smoking a cigarette. This was a street filled with clubs, different clubs. So I was there. There was this girl who approached me, and she's like, "Hey," and, you know, like if a girl says "Hey" and she's good looking, you say "Hey" back, you know, like politeness and stuff. So we started chatting, and she's like, "But this place." I was like, "Yeah, this is a nice place." She's like, "Well, I was thinking something else, but if this is the place, yeah, this is the place. Okay, so do you want to go in?" Yeah, let's go in then. So I threw out my cigarette, and I'm walking down the stairs with this girl. And she's like, and so I ask her name, and she tells me her name. And I say, "I am Romeo, by the way." She's like, "Romeo, you're not John." No, I'm Romeo. And she's like, "Oh, shit." And she looks back, she looks at me, and she says, "Oh, I'm sorry. I gotta go. I arranged to meet a guy in the other club." So she runs up the stairs. And yeah, I had, she mistook me for the other guy. So you know what, like what happened there? She saw me, I was sort of maybe resembling, but this isn't a country in which not that many people look like me, at least not the ones called John.
Yeah.
So what happened was she swiped, they had a little chat, and they teased each other and so on. And they agreed to meet at the front of the place, which was actually just the next place to the one I was in. So it just happened. What does it say? It just says that, yeah, you do have some sort of standard and all of that, the circumstances, you know, it's very random. It doesn't get meaningful when you're looking at an app and chatting with somebody. Like the picture, if you pass the first stage of picture and swiping and matching, and you start a conversation and you have the right style, then it gets to a whole new world. About matching, Elder was saying that people do it automatically. I heard something even worse, which is just to get out of that system, there are people that always swipe right, you know, no matter why, no matter what, no matter, they just go right, right, right. So accepting, 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 And if there's a match, they consider it. You know, not wasting time even with the search, which is even more extraordinary.
No to people that they wouldn't be so attracted to, I mean, physically.
So basically, it's just giving the other person the authority or something. Like, it's just, if you say, I'm available to any and everyone, if there's the match, then you can consider it, you know? But before that, it's like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So do you understand those people who maintain long-lasting love relationships, because it's love, I mean, they love each other, for years and years and years online without ever meeting the other person?
Oh.
Has that happened to any of you before?
Mm.
I mean, it doesn't have to be years, as long as it's, you know, a long lasting relationship.
Yeah. It never happened to me, and particularly I'm not sure if it would, because of my presence online. I wouldn't do that. But I have heard such cases, and well, romance needs the physical reality. Like, we cannot have romance forever online. Having said this, my current relationship is actually something that started, as you described, something of a pub or something. In my case, it was a train. I met somebody, and then it all went online. So it didn't start online, but the only moment was offline was the first day, let's say, when we met. And after that, all of it became online for a long time. I'm not sure for how long it would be stable to keep something like that. So I think there's a limit to that. Years? Well, if it's years, it's maybe not a relationship. Maybe it's something sort of platonic. But yeah, platonic love for years, sure, why not? I think that goes for the online world as it would for the offline world. Yeah. You have a secret passion for somebody, and you just, your whole life, you're like, oh, that person is so lovely and all of that. It doesn't end up in anything specific, but I wouldn't call it a relationship in its full concept.
Yeah. Elder, do you share the same opinion?
I would say I understand it, but I don't really accept it for me. So it would be in the same category as, for example, the concept of arranged marriage. Mm. Like, it's something that I don't understand or grasp exactly how one can go through that. But, you know, there are a lot of cases out there that has worked. And there's pros about the fact that people have to make it work, and there's value in that. So the same applies to that. It wouldn't be something that would be for me, as Romeo mentioned, the physical aspect of it and the social aspect. And face to face, it's part of what is important to me, so that wouldn't work for me. But I get where it's coming from and how probably it could last for some people.
Yeah, no, it probably I mean I'm sure that it wouldn't suit everybody, of course. Okay, so how do you think it changed the way we see sex? Because that's an important part of online dating as well. Because a lot of people use those apps just for sex. You know, they are not interested in, you know, meeting people for relationships or friendships or whatever. So how do you think it changed the way we see it?
Well, the way I see sex when you approach now, I don't think it's that much different. I really believe that what online dating does is increase the numbers, increase the frequency to which you go on dates. Because the engaging in dates or relationships that are solely based or with the goal of sex, that still existed before, like the intentions were. Right now, what seems to be easier is to, whatever your intention is, you can get more of. Now, there is probably a point on, because it's you can have it a lot more or do it just for sex, whether that can make it vulgar or it can take value out of it. I don't know. It takes two to play that game. So I guess it's as long as there is consent, you're just doing more of what you like. So I wouldn't necessarily see it as a bad thing. Again, for me, the biggest change from dating face-to-face or trying to get dates face-to-face as before the internet and the online dating world, it is just the scalability. Everything else seems to be mostly a replication of what we used to do, whether it's, you know, going out and the match, for example, the match feature is the corresponding of, you look at someone, she looks at you, there's the match there. In terms of the first few sentences, it's what happens in the chat. So there's a lot of it that is similar. I'm not saying it's the same, but there's a lot of it that replicates the natural process of evolving to dates. And the same with sex, like you can have a one-night stand.
But then when you go out and you are looking for sex, whatever person you meet, it doesn't mean that you are going to have sex with that person at least that day. But if you met someone on a, you know, sex dating app and you go on a date with that person, you know what's going to happen on the date.
But it's just the truth is the same is true for the first one. When I go out, let's say I'm only looking for sex, I'm going to meet a lot of people and I'm going to realize by talking to them where that's going to lead to a one-night stand or not. And the same with the app, like you can match with however people on Tinder, but you still need to assert that both of you just want to have sex. It's not like a sex specific app. Like if there's one out there, then I agree with your point, then it is by nature.
Well, some people use Tinder with different purposes. You know, some people are looking for connection, relationship. Other people are just looking for sex.
But that's not the default. That's what I mean. Like if the app was by default, only one intent.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
But because it isn't, you still need to assert that between the two of you, the same way that you need to kind of go on out at night and chit chat with someone and see where she stands on that, whether she's like into a one night stand or not.
Is it the same for you, Romeo?
Well, I think that I like to think that, when you go through that path, you do have more options and all of that. But I feel like when we get too many options, we're diverted from the primary goal. In the sense that the transformation that happened was before people had to have relationships to have sex, something like that. So a long time ago, the purpose of a relationship was also to fulfill that need. And because there's so much available now, things are different. So it's easy for us to call those apps sex apps because for a lot of people, they fulfill that need. And initially, where you had to conquer somebody and the one night stand would be an exception. For most of us at least. Nowadays, it is available because you can swipe right 300 people, not as fast as Elder. Elder was saying more than 60 people a minute. That means like skillful wrists and stuff.
It wasn't anecdotal evidence.
Okay. You didn't measure it specifically. But what I mean is, now that we have all of this available, yes, what happens is tonight I'm trying to, you know, the expression is I want to get laid, so let's hit the app. Or I don't know if ever for some people. It's like, oh, today I'm not in for finding some for getting me some. I'm more for the search of the meaningful other or the significant other. I don't know if that ever happens. So yeah, I suppose that that can also be transported into real life, in which some people just don't want to find the other meaningful one, and they'll get to their 50s always jumping from relationship to relationship. Just because, you know, like, why not? Because we can. Whereas other people are more long-lasting, and they grab into something and grasp into something afterwards. So, yeah, I suppose, Elda, you're right. It's got to do with availability. And because there's more availability, we can have a more exaggerated process or a more exaggerated approach to the whole dating system.
I think it's great that these days, no matter what the day is or what the time is, it could be like Monday morning and you feel like having sex. So I'm just going to go online, you know, make a booking or, you know.
I'm wondering about your usage of dating apps, because that never happened to me. How do you manage that?
Oh, on Monday mornings? No, yeah.
During my research for this podcast, I found like infinite dating apps for like any specific kind of person. There's a lot of them are for sex, especially for gay people. Like Grindr is used like solely for sex. Also, you can find things like dating apps, which are like the Christian Youth of Wyoming dating app, something like that. Some of them are like really...
It's one of those platonic loves ones.
Niche.
But I was going to say that I think it's great that, you know, you can, at a Monday morning, you can leave work and just go have sex with whoever gave you consent online. I think it's great that you have that availability.
It's beautiful.
It's even better when, if you work at a job where you can leave on a Monday morning.
On a Monday morning. Freaky. So, okay, on that note, we're going to end this podcast. And it's out in the world now that I have catfished a guy when I was 16, when catfishing wasn't even a thing back then.
A researcher even in those days, isn't it?
Yes, thanks for the conversation today. It was an interesting topic.
Yeah, it was. And fun as well. So, okay. Bye, guys.
I'll see you next time. Thanks, Rena. Bye.